Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I want to thank you for taking the time to view and listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning as we give you a message of truth. Today begins our gospel meeting here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ with Brother Jim Lee from Englewood, Ohio. Brother Lee will be preaching today at 10:20 and again this evening at 6:30 p.m. and each night this week, beginning Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. nightly. We encourage you to come and be with us and listen to the gospel of Christ that is preached in its truth and its simplicity. We don't ask anything from you. There will be no collections. We're not asking any money from you. We're not making any demands on you. All we want you to do is come and open your mind and open your Bible and examine God's word with us. Come each and every time that you might have opportunity this week. You will be warmly received, and you will be taught from the Scriptures and according to God's Word. Please, come and be with us during this feast of God's Word. We have been examining this month, beginning to examine the question of why we're a member of the Lord's Church. Today, we're going to examine one of the reasons is because it is founded at the scriptural place. Another reason for being a member of the Lord's Church is that it was founded in the city of Jerusalem. That's the scriptural place. If a person is a member of a church which was first founded in Rome, Germany, England, Holland, Switzerland, or even here in the United States, they could not claim to be a member of the Lord's Church, since the Lord's Church was not founded in any other place other than the city of Jerusalem. Men cannot be members of the true church, which Jesus promised to build, and the one that he died for, unless they are a member of the church that was started in the scriptural place. First, let's give some passages that point to this establishment. In Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, the scripture says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" This is a similar prophecy that we could find if you want to look in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. Here we see Jehovah's house would be established in Jerusalem. It would be exalted above all nations. And the fulfillment time would be in the latter days in which we live. And according to 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, it would be the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In Zechariah 1, verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, said the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem." Then in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 46, "Then he said to him, 'Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise to my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.'" The starting place would be Jerusalem. The preaching would be for remission of sin. It would be endued, they would be endued with power on high. They would have a worldwide commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. The promise of the Holy Spirit would be given to them personally to the disciples, and that promise was given personally to them by the Lord himself in John 14, 26, John 15, 26 and 27, and in John 16, verse 7 and 8. But in order for that to happen, Jesus must first die, then he must arise from the dead, and then he must leave them and ascend back to his Father in heaven. Why? To give the blood that he shed upon the cross as a ransom price for sin. Please read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 through 28. What would the Holy Spirit do for them? According to the book of John, in that last conversation that he had with them prior to his arrest and trials and crucifixion, he would teach the apostles. He would bring all things to their remembrance, guide them into all truth, John 16, 13. He would bring all things to their remembrance, John 14, 26. And he would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's according to Jesus himself in John chapter 16, 7 through 11. The fulfillment of these passages. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. John 16, 7. They watch him ascend back into heaven. In Acts 1, verse 9 through 11, he went back to heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit back to them. Remember, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8, they're told to wait in Jerusalem. Why? To wait for the power that would come upon them. Why? Where did they go following his ascension? According to verse 12 of Acts chapter 1, when they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. That's about 7/8 of a mile. What was this power from on high? Well, we know what that is in Acts 2, 1 through 4, is the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the apostles, and suddenly there came from the south from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them, the apostles, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and they began to speak, the apostles, with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues are languages. And if you read Acts chapter 2, you'll see all the Jews that were gathered there from 17 different nations on the earth all heard the gospel in their native language. That's what tongue is. It is languages. The word goes forth out of Jerusalem. You can read Peter's sermon and the apostles' sermon in Acts 2, 14 through 42. Where was Peter? Did he offer some proof? Yes, he quotes Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32, beginning in verse 16 through 21 of Acts 2. He gives a verbatim quote of Joel chapter 2 to tell them that this prophecy was being fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when God poured his Spirit, or began to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and that prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Now in Acts 2 verse 37 they said, now when they heard this, when they heard what? When they heard the gospel, they were cut to the heart. That means they were convicted of their sin. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to him, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That means in order to obtain. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 37 and 38. Is the church established at this time? Yes. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the scripture says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts 2, verse 47. How can the same church be planted today? Nothing to be gained by church succession. Could the church apostatize? Absolutely, and it did. In Acts chapter 2, there's a warning about grievous wolves that would come in Acts chapter 20 by the apostle Paul to the elders of Miletus, and would lead disciples away from them in Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. And Paul talks in his letter to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4, that there was going to be a falling away first. And Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 3, that some would depart from the faith. This just means that a church could have started in the scriptural place, followed Christ at one time, but now they have rejected him by going back into the world and ceasing to follow his word. You know, we need to remember something very important about the place of where the church started. The prophecy said it would be in Jerusalem. The Great Commission told them to begin in Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost because it was a feast day. It was a holy day. And the prophecy in Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 44 and 45, that it would happen in the days of the Roman emperors and then the Roman kings, when Rome was in authority. We know that it is in the time of Rome, so you have the scriptural place, the scriptural city, the scriptural time, and it is in Jerusalem. That is the place where the Lord's church begins. It begins in the city of Jerusalem. That is the scriptural place. Now, I want to close by reminding you of a principle that was established in the Bible called the seed principle, sowing the proper seed. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, we're told that the seed is the word of God. In Galatians chapter 6, 7, and 8, The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of the Galatians that we'll reap whatever we sow. If we sow of the Spirit, we'll reap of the Spirit. If we sow of the flesh, we'll reap of the flesh. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, during the creation of all mankind and all the things in heaven and earth, our God made a procreation principle that each thing produces after its own kind. Genesis 1:11. And in Mark chapter 13:31, it can never be destroyed. This seed principle is eternal, and God made it, and it cannot be destroyed. If false doctrine prevailed, the church was destroyed by apostasy and false teachers. Yet as long as the seed remains alive, it lives and abides forever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we know if we plant the proper seed, God will give the increase. The same church can be founded in any community or any place in the world today by planting the proper seed, and that proper seed is the gospel. But if you want to be a member of the church that was started in the scriptural place in AD 33, then that church must be started in Jerusalem. If the church, ladies and gentlemen, that you belong to was started in any other place, if it was started at any other location, in any other country, even our own, and it started in Rome or in Holland or in Switzerland or in America or in any other place, then it is not the church that the Lord built. It is not His church because it does not have the scriptural beginning at the scriptural place, because it was not founded in the city of Jerusalem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the prophets say it would be in Jerusalem. Jesus said it would be in Jerusalem. The apostles' evidence in Acts 2 demonstrates that it was in Jerusalem. And all prophecy was fulfilled in the preaching of the gospel for the first time in Acts 2. And so we see all of it coming together at the proper place during the proper time period in the Roman Empire. We see the Holy Spirit being poured out on the apostles, and all of it took place in the city of Jerusalem. Is that a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen? Is that just something that happened by chance? Or was that God's eternal design and eternal plan that He put in motion before the world began? God had determined before He said, "Let there be light," that He had a plan. And that plan was to build His church, and that the head of that church would be His Son, Jesus Christ, and it would be planted in the city of Jerusalem. And it would begin in the city of Jerusalem in the days of the Roman Empire. And the head of that church would be His Son, the foundation of that church would be His Son, and the builder of that church would be His Son. And it would be done in the city of Jerusalem. Now, we've examined in our previous lessons that the builder and foundation of the Lord's church is the Lord Himself, and now we know that the scriptural place of beginning must be in the city of Jerusalem. And so, why am I a member of the Lord's church? Let us just re-examine the three things we have discussed this month. I am a member of the Lord's church because He is the builder. He is the foundation, and it was started in the scriptural place in the city of Jerusalem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with all the honesty in my heart, with all the love I have in my heart for you, let me ask you, do you belong to the church that was built by Jesus, that He is the foundation, that He is the head, and it was started in the city of Jerusalem? And if you are not, then what will you do about it? Will you be honest enough? Will you be forthright enough to admit that you're wrong and correct your mistake? Or will you continue to live the mistake?